This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm so glad to be here with you today to talk about authenticity and to talk about sepsis awareness, grief, resiliency with Christina Flack. She lost her husband to sepsis and now speaks on sepsis awareness. She's also CEO of Pretty Girl Makeup. She's a celebrity makeup artist, a board member of the Face Skincare, and a fashion commentator. She's a sepsis aware advocate as well as a mom, divorcee, and widow. And her goal is to always promote sepsis awareness in order to prevent death or permanent injury for the treatable ailment. Welcome to the show, Christina. It's so great to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful Southern California day. Can't ask for anything better. I'm doing great. So tell us a little bit about your story.
So I was married to Ken Flack. He was the number one doubles player in the world during the 90s with his partner, Rob Siguso. They won a gold medal in Seoul, won various Wimbledons. They were on the Davis Cup team. They had a really amazing career. But after my husband retired, we got married in 2010. We were friends on Facebook for about a year and a half. We wrote each other letters, and then we finally met in person. And we fell in love and got married in 6 weeks and combined our children. We had 9 children combined, and we were very happily married for 8 years until my husband got pneumonia. He got bronchitis. Which turned into pneumonia, and we called Kaiser Permanente, which was our, you know, our healthcare provider at the time, to, you know, I had never seen my husband so ill, pardon me, and we called the advice nurse because that's the protocol that they, you know, require you to do, and they said, oh, wow, you don't sound well, we're going to get your doctor on the line with you. So a few hours later, Dr. John Culbertson called my husband and said, just gave him cough medicine with codeine and an inhaler and no antibiotic without seeing him, which is entirely the problem. So when my husband ran out to do some errands, he asked me to go pick up the medicine, and I said, where's the antibiotic? And he said, oh, he says I don't need it. And I said, well, that's odd. Why would he give you cough medicine with codeine and inhaler if you don't have, you know, infection? Like, obviously you do. You've got green and yellow everything coming out. So he's like, well, it'll just do what he says. And I said, okay. So I went and got the medicine. And then 12 hours later, he was so much worse. He started spitting up blood. So I rushed him to the emergency. He could walk at the time. He walked in and started spitting up more blood. And they brought him into, you know, the emergency room and got him on oxygen to try and stabilize his breathing and, you know, get him, you know, stable. They changed the oxygen 3 different times, still no antibiotic. The doctor called me out of the room and said that he wasn't doing well and that he could die. And I was like, that's just not even possible, right? I said, just get in there and fix him, you know? So I didn't realize at the time. They said, you know, that he had sepsis, that he was septic, but they didn't give him an antibiotic for over 3.5 hours. And the thing with sepsis is that it needs to be, there's a golden hour, a golden time that, you know, you can survive if you're treated properly. But unfortunately, my husband was not treated properly. They didn't give him the antibiotic for over 3 hours because they were out of it. They didn't have it in stock, which is ludicrous to me. I mean, I would have rushed him to another hospital. I would have known. I just didn't know. So then the doctor informed me that he needed to be intubated, you know, to clear out his lungs. So to me, that meant, you know, he had to just, you know, I understood that he had a lot of fluid, so that made sense at the time. However, I did not know that intubation was life support. They did not tell me that. So, you know, I told my husband, I said, look, they're going to put you under, baby. They're going to clear out your lungs, and then, you know, you'll be fine, and we'll go home. Like, it's all good. And he's like, okay, I love you. And I said, I love you more. And, you know, they put him under, and he never regained consciousness after that. He, his arms and legs turned black, which I was in such denial at the time. I thought, oh, well, that'll get better.
Oh my gosh.
I called a specialist in, and they said, well, if he survives, we'll need to amputate the arms and the legs. And I just said, no. I'm like, and this is, so imagine, Wednesday we called Kaiser Permanente, spoke with Dr. Culbertson. Thursday, I rush him to Kaiser in San Rafael, California.
Mm-hmm.
And then by Monday, when I had the specialist come in to tell me that they were going to need to amputate him, and I just thought, you know what, my husband would strangle me with his, I don't even know what, but he would kill me if I would allow him to live with no arms and legs. You know, if he mm-hmm. couldn't, like, hug his children and love me and drink a beer and play golf, like, that was going to be it for him. So, you know, I sadly had to, you know, take him off life support on Monday, and he passed away immediately. It was horrible. It was horrible to witness. My husband should have not have died such a gruesome death. Our children mm-hmm. should not have had to watch their father die in such a manner. So now after he passed, the Sepsis Alliance contacted me and asked, because of who my husband was, they asked if mm-hmm. I would be willing to speak about sepsis to, you know, raise awareness and use his likeness on billboards. And I said, you know, yes, absolutely. I had lost my son 13 years previously on Christmas Day. And wow. I had started a foundation at a school and a garden at a school that his twin goes to. And so I thought everyone grieves differently. And for me, I feel like because of who my husband was, I want to honor him. But I also feel that I can use his name to raise awareness and save more lives. And so that's what I've been doing. And it's going to be 2 years on the 12th of March that he's passed, which I can't even believe. Yeah.
I can't believe how quickly that all transpired.
That's what's so scary about sepsis. And that's what I want to let your listeners know. They can all go to sepsis.org.
Okay.
And you can see the different, you know, symptoms. And there's this thing called time on the website. And it's, you know, temperature. You either feel incredibly warm or incredibly cold. And I is for infection. You can have, you know, a tooth infection or, you know, an infection in some part of your body. M is for mental decline. You don't feel like you're just not in your right mind.
Mm-hmm.
E is for you feel incredibly, you feel like, you know how you think like, oh, I'm going to die? Well, you actually are dying because sepsis attacks your organs. It shuts them all down. And so you don't, you know how we always say, oh, I'll go to the doctor tomorrow. I don't feel well.
Yes.
Well, there is not a tomorrow with sepsis. It is today. For you to survive, you need to go to the doctor immediately, get a blood test, and, you know, get on the proper protocol of an antibiotic. And unfortunately, Kaiser failed miserably with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, them not diagnosing him, not seeing him, not having the right antibiotic. And, you know, I want to make change in the medical system, and especially with a company like Kaiser that, you know, rewards their doctors for not seeing their patients. You know, there's going to be nothing but loss of life if they
mm-hmm.
continue to do such a thing. And I think it's disgusting, and I think it's just, it's criminal to me what they've done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not protocol, never, for a doctor to give medicine or prescriptions without seeing a patient. Doctors just won't do that. That's always been my
experience. Well, they do at Kaiser.
But they do, these people do now, which is terrible.
Yeah. So I'm just hoping that,
you
know, and what's so rewarding for me now is that I hear from people, they contact me and tell me that they've heard my interviews or seen read something that I've written, and they've gotten their loved one to a doctor and saved their life. And so that makes
mm-hmm.
me incredibly happy and proud. And I know my husband would be very, very proud to know that I'm doing this in his honor.
Definitely. And so I would think that if you're having trouble with Kaiser or any other insurance company seeing you, just take them to the ER. I mean, they have to see them there.
Absolutely. Take them to the ER. And, you know, a lot of times I had a one woman contact me, and she said that she went there. She'd seen an interview that I had done, and went to the doctor and said, you know, I just please test him for sepsis. And they're like, no, 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 he doesn't have the symptoms. She's like, just do it. She insisted. And he was septic. And she called me later and she said, you know what? If I hadn't have like insisted, like you said, I would be grieving with you right now. My husband would have died in 12 hours. So when I hear stories like that, it just inspires me to keep on my little crusade of, you know, of trying to raise awareness and help others.
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about being more proactive in our own health care for a minute. What do you need that? What do you think the first step we need to take is for that? Because obviously, with certain companies like Kaiser, we have to be proactive. Otherwise, this is the result.
Well, I think, you know, we just have to really listen to our bodies and not feel like embarrassed or like we're being annoying by insisting upon things. It's your health and your body and your life. You have to fight for it because no one else is going to. And, you know, I know that most of the people at, you know, at Kaiser are good people and good doctors. But in this instance, there was no reason for this. My husband was a professional athlete. He was 54 years old. Very healthy, strong man. And so for him to die this quickly and with a disease that is this aggressive, you know, it just, this can never happen again. It just can't.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. If you know, usually you hear about somebody who's elderly, you know, because they're weaker, or a baby. But to hear of someone that young, that healthy, and for this to happen quickly, it just is mind-boggling for me.
I think that's probably why the Sepsis Alliance has, you know, had asked me to speak about this, because they could see from, you know, you could look on the internet and just see images of my husband and see that he was just a very big, strong, healthy, happy man. So if that could happen to a big, strong man like that, it can happen to anyone, not someone that's just elderly. You know, it's very aggressive, this disease.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the grief part of it. You said how you cope with grief by, you actually do something. You made a foundation for your child that died, and now you're doing this, you know, in honor of your husband.
I also started a foundation at a school called Northern Lights School in Oakland, California, in my husband's name as well. It's the Ken Flack Educational Fund, and then there's the Baby Bow Educational Fund. And it's just it's a private school for minority children in Oakland that is run solely on grants and donations for it to run. And it's the most amazing school. They have a success rate of 98% rate of their students. It's from kindergarten through eighth grade, and then the students going on to university and graduating with degrees. It's 98%. That's more than, you know, most private, you know,
with
wealthy students. So I'm really proud. Ken and I actually had been supporting this charity, you know, our entire marriage. There was a golf tournament every year. Vita Blue puts on a celebrity golf tournament every year with, you know, all the Raiders and the 49ers and the Giants and the A's, different professional athletes come and support the school and raise, you know, money for the school. And what was so amazing, my son, Ben, who is the twin of Bo that passed, for the last 4 years, he's a golfer. He has gone on the third hole at this golf course, and it's called Beat the Kid, and people give him, you know, a minimum of $20 to hit the golf ball for them, and they get to use the ball that he hits to play. And he raised this year, you're not even going to believe it, but he raised $35,500 this year for his dad and his twins' foundation. So I feel so incredibly proud of my son, Ben, that was able to, you know, take something that is so tragic, like the loss of his twin and the loss of his dad, and help others. And I think for him being so young, he's just 13 now, and he's been doing this for the last 3-4 years. I just feel, I don't know, it just makes me feel so good because, and you know, he's so humble and sweet. He's like, Mom, it's not that big a deal. And I said, Ben, you don't understand. You raising $35,000 for that school means that three children are going to be able to go to private school for a year. I mean, that changes lives. It changes their lives, but it changes their families. It changes communities. So yes. That is so huge to me that you know, my son does that. I'm just so proud of him, and he's my hero. He really is.
It's just so wonderful. But you have set the example, and it just proves the fact that children learn from example. That's where they learned from, and that's absolutely fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, and if you want to call in and ask Christina a question, you can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and we will be right back.
Hi there, this is Jacqueline Clare, storyteller and artist of spiritual realism, fine art, paintings and images designed to help you connect with your spiritual reality. Check out my website, Jacqueline Clare Art, and be sure to use the Dare to be Authentic promo code AUTHENTIC. That's www.jacquelineclareart.com.
Who are you, and what are you here for? If you find yourself asking those questions of yourself or others on a regular basis, then you'll enjoy Maxability, Who Are You? What Are You Here For? By Jean Hess, author of Sportuality, Finding Joy in the Games. Visit jeanhess.com. That's JeanHess.com for more information, or order it on Amazon.
Jimmy Mack is a renowned medical intuitive and spiritual life coach who, after a near-death experience, was divinely shown a simpler way to create healing and profound changes, now known as My Liquid Fish, Change Made Simple. Host of talk radio show called The Jimmy Mack Healing Show. Jimmy works worldwide with clients in person, on the phone, and over Skype, accessing energetic powers and co-creating changes that you actually feel. Visit www.jimmymackhealing.com.
Hey, this is Miranda from Massage by Mer Consulting. If you are a fresh-faced massage practitioner trying to build your personal massage practice and you're struggling and you know you have what it takes but you just need a little bit more support, then book a call with me at www.massagebymerconsulting.com, and I can't wait to get to know you and what your practice needs and help you get from where you are now to where you know that you could be and you should be. I'll meet you soon.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Christina Fleck, who lost her husband to sepsis and now speaks on sepsis awareness. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity, since this is called Dare to Be Authentic. Tell us a little bit in what way you feel you are authentic.
Well, I try to be genuine always in just who I am as a person and how I conduct myself and how I raise my children. And I just feel like being having balance in one's life. You know, I'm a very giving person, and I'm a mother of five, and you know, I try to always be my highest self, but I also feel that it's important for me to take care of everyone else. I have to take care of myself. So I wake up every day and I have green juice and Bragg's apple cider and water, vinegar. I take, supplements and green juice. I do a lot of yoga. I meditate, and I exercise a lot. So that helps me to stay balanced and in my right mind to be able to take care of everyone. And I feel that balance is a key to life with everything. You know, you do need to eat a piece of cake once in a while and rest and enjoy yourself. I just don't think you can – I function at a very high level all the time. I'm going, but I also know that I need to like calm my mind and my body down. So I meditate every night before bed and when I wake up, and that just helps me to stay focused and keep things clear in my life.
That's great. I love that you talked about balance. A lot of people, when you ask them about authenticity, don't talk about that. But as you said, Christina, taking care of yourself, especially when you have this many children, this many activities, you're CEO of a business, you're going nonstop, it's so important to take care of ourselves. And that's a really great point. Thank you so much for bringing that forth.
Of course. I truly believe balance. You know, you do need a glass of wine every now and again to just calm down a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try not to do anything in excess, like, you know, don't work out too much. Don't eat. I just, if you can keep balance in your life, everything's pretty just works out. You don't get explosively mad, or it just, I think balance is key. I think it's a really good word.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a wonderful word. So you're obviously not a stranger to grief. You've had, the loss of your baby, the loss of your husband. What suggestion do you have for someone maybe who's listening in now who's experiencing deep grief?
So I lost my mother when I was 20, and then I lost my son. Yeah, I lost my son when I was 40, and then I lost my husband when I was 50. So it's, so I think, I went to grief. One of my best friends took me to a grief camp at Canyon Ranch, mm-hmm. which she told me we were just going to a spa. She tricked me.
mm-hmm.
But it actually was the best thing that happened to me. I went there, and there was an amazing woman from actually Los Angeles. She's a rabbi named Sherry Hirsch, and she had written a book called We Plan and God Laughs. And what I learned at grief camp was that everyone grieves differently. So, for example, my ex-husband, Beau's dad, it's so hard for him to deal with the grief, the loss of Beau, that I've had to learn. And that really helped me, because it used to bother me that he wasn't like more proactive helping me with the foundation and raising mm-hmm. money for, the foundation and things. But I realized after that it's just too painful for him, and that's how he deals with grief. And that there's no right or wrong with grief. Everyone handles it differently. So for me, I don't know why, but for me, it helps me to speak about it. It helps me to. I like feeling that my husband and my baby and my mother are not being forgotten because they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me really happy that I can help children that otherwise wouldn't be having, these educations and these experiences that my children are blessed to have, that I'm able to do that in honor of them. So I think what I've learned is everyone grieves differently. One thing I would say is I've met a lot of people that think that, honoring them is to just stay in this state of sadness and grief.
Mm-hmm.
And misery.
Yeah.
And I 100% disagree with that. I feel that happiness is a choice. I feel that you're not honoring them by just crying and being miserable and sad. That's, you're choosing that. And I don't think that, I believe that Ken and Bo and my mom and all my other relatives and friends that are up in heaven, I think they're watching over me. And I don't think that they would be, I think it would make them, it would break their heart and make them very sad to see
mm-hmm.
if I was not, I'm not saying I'm not still sad and I'm not grieving. I am.
Right.
However, I've got other children that I have to, raise, and, my kids are, older and stuff, but, my son Ben is 13, and I, for me to be going off the deep end, just wallowing in my misery is not mm-hmm. going to help my kids at all. And in fact, it was so funny. My daughter Melania, she lives in London. She had sent me a note, and she's like, Mom, it's amazing. Like, I'm so proud of how you've handled dealing with, daddy's death, and how you've been so positive when it's been so hard for you. Like, we know you're brokenhearted and you miss him so much, but, seeing you laugh and smile, it's, it's kind of like, I don't want my kids to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they see that I'm, doing positive things with my life and I'm working and, having a positive attitude, it just helps them, which, it's infectious. Then it affects their friends and their work
yeah.
and everything else. So I just feel that you're not honoring your loved one by staying in this place of misery at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredibly selfish, and it isn't honoring them. If you want to honor them, do something positive, start a foundation or help someone else and do that in their honor. Honor them in a positive way, not grieving, like just crying and choosing to be miserable. I that's one thing that really I'm not fond of seeing people do.
Yeah, I love everything you've said. I love saying do something in honor of them and not forgetting them. That's my, you know, because of course I've had people who passed away, my father, my mom, and it just, yeah, when we honor them, it just feels so good, and they are proud of us, so that's beautiful. So what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
Well, I would really love if people could visit the sepsis.org website and just take a peek at it. And then what would really be fantastic is for them to, you know, if they're at a lunch or dinner or with some friends or coworkers, just say, hey, are you aware of sepsis? Do you, you know it about it? Just to bring dialogue to the table. I would love for people to just, you know, tell a couple people who will tell a couple people, and it just kind of trickles down from there. And then, you know, when people are informed and aware, then they can make, you know, educated decisions. You know, Ken and I had no idea about sepsis when this happened. So if I would have known, I could have, you know, pushed harder. I mean, I thought I was pushing hard and trying. I thought I was getting the best care, but Kaiser failed. I mean, there's only so much I could do. I'm a wife. I'm not a doctor. And I had no idea. You know, I was pretty hysterical at the time. I was so upset that, you know, watching my husband dying that, you know, it's weird when you go through that kind of trauma, you forget a lot. Your mind your mind is an amazing thing. It protects you in a way. It helps you not to remember because it's so painful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I could, you know, today, if people could know about that, that would really be fantastic. Just share that with someone you meet today, share it with a few friends. And I think more and more people will be aware about sepsis.
Yeah. Because if we know something, you know, when we don't know something, we can't do anything about it. When we know something, you know, that story that you said about that lady who insisted they test her husband, that really struck me.
Right.
Because she was
informed. If I had known that, I would have pushed. I would have gotten my husband in the car and taken him to another hospital or done, I mean,
correct.
I would have tried to do everything I could do. I thought I was doing everything I could, having him at Kaiser with the doctors that he had, but, you know. They failed miserably, and it's unforgivable to me.
Yeah,
what they've done.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about how to get a hold of you, your website, how people can get a hold of you.
If anyone wants to get a hold of me, my email is Christina, Christina, at prettygirlmakeup.com. My website is christinaflack.com to see my portfolio of my makeup. And if you want to see my makeup line, it's prettygirlmakeup.com. I'm on Instagram, and, I'm always happy to speak with anyone, you know, about sepsis or, you know, grief. You know, I feel it's kind of my calling right now to help others, you know, through their grief and help them, you know, with sepsis, raising awareness.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I really feel proud that, you know, I can help children that would not normally have a private school experience get that because of, you know, my husband and my son honoring them. So that feels really great.
That's awesome. I love that you're doing that. So what's one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, Christina?
I would say, you know, wake up and be happy and do positive things and have balance and love and joy in your life. And love, you know what? Just tell everyone that you love how much you love them and spend time with them, because that's really the most important thing to me. Like with my loved ones and people I love, I really don't need any presents or flowers or, you know, anything. I just love spending time with my friends and my children and my family. It's so important. And I tell everyone, everyone in my life, when I hang up the phone, I love you.
That's,
you know,
so
I don't want anyone to ever feel that they did not feel my love.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Christina. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you had me on. It was really lovely speaking with you.
And thank you for listening in today. I hope that you will pass this along. You can also find Christina on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just go to the radio page, and she's right there with links to all her websites, including the sepsis.org. And so thank you for listening, and catch us again on Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
Mm-hmm. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, honey. Oh, hi. I was just ending my radio show. Shit.